We are living in the most exciting time that we could ever live in. We are living on the edge of, I believe, one of the massive outpouring of God's Spirit. I'll say it before and I'll say it again. If I look what the Lord is busy doing, if I just look over you tonight, if I look at the hunger of the people, if I see the hunger of the people online this morning, if I look at the mass amounts of people we've had across not just Pretoria, but across many places that were gathering under His name, something is going to go down and God is going to make this big. Are you there? And so you have to understand, why are you born? Why are you living in this hour? He could have chosen you to live in any hour, but He chose you to live in this hour. Why did He choose you to live in this hour? Because you have the end time DNA living inside of you. You have that what it takes for Him to bring His kingdom, and put it upon you, put it inside of you, and you to live out that kingdom. Are you with me? You are, save me, I am the generation that will see Jesus Christ coming back. Oh. No, I think you need to do better than that. Save me. I am the generation that will see the coming of the Lord. No, let's say it again with authority. Say, I am the generation that will see the coming of Jesus Christ as it was promised through the prophets. It will happen in my lifetime. I am the generation that will worship Him, that will exalt Him, that will give Him glory and honor and praise and worship and everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Do you know that you are the time, you are the hour, you are the people that God is going to use to do signs, wonders and miracles greater than the days of Acts? Come on. Do you know that God is looking for a people to overshadow once again? Oh, come on. Are you James? Are you John? Are you Peter? Are you the one? Come on. Are you the one that will not conform in this hour, but say, greater is He that's within me than he that is in the world? Will we be the ones that we can say, baptize us, we contain for a generation? Come on. Are you the one? Come on, are you with me? So what we do, we are pushing boundaries. This morning we contended. Tonight I'm contending again. Why? Because I believe that we are living in one of the most exciting times that we have ever seen. Listen, don't let them tell you to fear. You fear nothing. You fear God. Bible says, fear the Lord. He can kill your spirit and your soul. Don't fear man. Don't fear the devil. He has lost already. He's lost. Come on. He's the prince and the power of the air. The biggest obstacle is here between our ears. Are you there? Satan has lost. Jesus calls him the prince of this world is coming, but fear not. He has no hold on me. John 19, are you with me? You have to understand, as you sit here tonight, you are a prophetic people. The Bible says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit from on high, and your young men will see, or your young men will prophesy, your old men will see visions. The Bible says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, so that all may prophesy. Not some, all. Are you there? Are you with me? The Bible again says, listen, you have the Spirit of the Lord living inside of you, right? And because you have the Spirit of the Lord living inside of you, you are prophetic by nature. Because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. We overcome by the power of the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. You have to understand that you have the Spirit of the Lord living inside of you. If you have the Spirit of the Lord living inside of you, you have the ability to prophesy. You have the ability to speak forth. And quite frankly, if Satan is using everything to make his message known, God can use anyone at any given time as he thinks, as he wants, to proclaim his goodness also. Oh, come on, are you with me? Don't go quiet now. And so as I always say, there's always three levels to this. And you have to understand, I don't want to teach too much. I just want you to get an understanding. Save me revelation. Listen, right now, I do understand that, you know, we have to get it that we have the spirit of prophecy. Listen, if I have the spirit of the Lord living inside of me, right? Who am I to tell him how he must flow inside of me? If I have God living inside of me and I am called the house of God, Beth, if I'm called a house, you're a house, by the way. I'm a house. I'm a temple. Bible says that Jesus Christ came to dwell in people, dwell in a house, that's you and I. If I have the person of the Holy Spirit living inside of me, do you know that you, how can I stop him if he's a person? Because I'm not leading, he's leading. He's called the leader, are you there? Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. And so when it comes to the prophetic, it's very simple, and I want you to understand this. There's three realms of three levels to the prophetic. There's a spirit of prophecy which all Christians have, Revelations 19:10. The Bible says that all can prophesy. In actual fact, the Bible says, do not despise prophecy. In other words, don't neglect it, don't despise it. And just because one or two did it bad doesn't mean everything is bad. Are you there? Yeah, come on. And so you get the gift of prophecy, which is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the spirit of prophecy. And I'm going to activate that tonight in all of us. Now, that's a good place to say amen. You know, thank God our services are anointed. I tell you, if our services were dead, I would leave with you. Are you there? But thank you. Oh, come on. Thank you to Jesus that our services are anointed. Yeah, come on. Yeah, I've got so much to be thankful for in power. So the first level of the prophetic is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And that means on this first level of the prophetic, you can prophesy, but everything you say is linked to the word of the Lord. In other words, you cannot say anything outside of the word of the Lord. You have to prophesy on this first level where everything is linked or measured by the word of the Lord. The second level of the prophetic is very simply, it's the gift of prophecy. Now, when Paul the Apostle speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and he tells the saints that I do not want you to be ignorant, he actually says these words. Please listen to me, because I'm going to show you tonight what is the real and what's the fake. He says, now concerning the spiritual brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. And the reason why Paul the Apostle writes this is very simple. It's because he is saying concerning the spiritual world, I don't want you to have a misunderstanding. The reason why he's saying this is because the Corinthian church, which he's writing to, grew up in a pagan society. And because they grew up in a pagan society, Paul is trying to make them understand that the gift of prophecy that they have is to be used for three main categories. And then he names them. He says edification, exhortation, and the upliftment of the saints. Then he likens the gift of prophecy to the speaking of tongues. And he says, what will it help the body of Christ if a man speaks in another tongue and his tongue does not get interpreted? Now, what does that mean? It does not mean that when you pray in the tongues like you did tonight, and like when I go home or wherever I go, when I pray in the Spirit, that doesn't need to be interpreted. But when you come into the house of God and you say you have a word for the people and you speak in an unknown tongue, that tongue needs to be interpreted. When that tongue is interpreted, Paul likens it as on the same level as the gift of prophecy. Are you with me? So the gift of prophecy is meant for exhortation, upliftment, and the edification of all. In other words, when somebody gives you a word on the gift level, it is there with these three ranks that must be in place: edification, exhortation, and upliftment for all. In other words, somebody can't say something to you that God does not want to say to you according to the word of the Lord. So when a person prophesies on this first level or speaks on this first level, it is simply to edify the person. And may I say, all saints can have this ability. If you want, let me say it like this. The Bible says the Holy Spirit gives gifts as He wants. But if He's a person living inside of you, I'm of the firm belief that He will function in all nine if you will allow Him the space to be God through you.
I don't know if I've got hungry people here.
Let me say that again. I believe if we have the person of the Holy Spirit that carries all 9 gifts, why will we only want to limit him to 1? Can't we say, Lord Holy Spirit, please flow through me in the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of faith, the gift of knowledge, the gift of tongues, the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Can't we say that? Come on, are you there? And so on this second level of the prophetic, the gift of prophecy, somebody cannot come to you and say something opposite than the mind of God for you. In other words, if you go through certain things, somebody can't prophesy on this level and bring to your attention things that is against the word of the Lord. It's not how it works. So I want you to understand this, because there is a third dimension that I wanted to get to tonight. And it's really that the Bible says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure and the stature which belongs to the fullness of God. I want you to see that there's 5 offices and all of them work together. None is more important than the other. We need the pastor, we need the teacher, we need the prophet, we need the evangelist, we need the apostle. In actual fact, the apostle is meant to gird or to establish the rest of the offices. Are you guys there? Are you with me? So when you see the apostolic and the prophetic together, it's because God wants to bring order to things, because he wants to establish something new. Oh, come on, that was a good place to say amen. Everybody that sits here in this house, if Empower is your house, you would have seen over the last 2 weeks how the apostolic and the prophetic and the teaching graces, they have come together, and what it caused was a shift. Are you there? So what will Satan do? Satan will, he will fake the prophetic. He will fake the apostolic. He will fake the pastor. But he will never fake the evangelist. Because if the devil saves people, that's just stupidity. Why does he fake the other ones? Not because the evangelist is not important. Of course, they're very important. The point is, there's a reason why he fakes these things, because they are governmental in nature. Oh, come on, Empower. Are you with me? I want to teach you this stuff. So there's 3 parts, and I want to make it simple. There's 3 parts to every prophetic word. It is, what is God saying? How should I interpret what he is saying? And how should I apply what he is saying? Are you there? Let me say it again. What is God saying? How do I interpret what God is saying? And how do I apply what God is saying? So when you prophesy, you have to understand you are speaking on behalf of the Lord. And when you do speak on behalf of the Lord, you have to understand that what you say has to be measured by the word of the Lord. So our first go-to is always the word of the Lord. Come on, are you there? The word of the Lord is the standard that should be in your life. Come on, do I have an amen or something? We live by the word of the Lord. If it's not in the word of the Lord, it should be tested. It should be tried. It should be tested by the word of God. Because the word of the Lord is infallible. It cannot fail. But the Bible says, God says, every word that proceeds out of my mouth cannot return unto me void. It has to do that what I send it forth to do. In other words, when you receive any word like we're going to do tonight, you have to judge that word against the word of the Lord. Come on, guys. There are too many Christians in this hour that, now let me reword that. There are too many people in this hour that is not judging stuff according to the word. That's why you can say thank you that you are in Empower Church, because one thing that we do, we teach you prophetically what is happening around you, so that you are not caught of God, but what is happening around you. It's true. That's why you can be thankful. You can say, thank you, Jesus, that you are here. Because he doesn't just... Listen, the Bible says my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Not a lack of revelation, a lack of knowledge. Because they don't see. If you can't see, you can't reshape your life so that you can... You see, let me say it like this. If you see further, you can live longer. Are you there? Now, one thing I do want to say about the prophets is this. Notice that Christ gave the prophets to the church as a gift. In other words, they are not just a gifted, and I want everybody to understand this. They are a gift to the body of Christ, as is the pastor, as is the teacher, as is the apostle. All of them are gifts. But the problem is this, and I want to say this. If we say God cannot prophesy, or if we say God cannot function through you, what we are limiting is the very nature of who the Lord is. Because God is very high on communication. He's so high on communication, He calls Himself the Word. Oh no, I think you didn't catch that. That was good. He calls Himself so much, He's so high on communication, He calls Himself the Word. You see, the value you place on what God says will always be the power that you derive from that. Are you guys with me? So, I want you to understand that there's three levels to this. There's the spirit of prophecy, there's the gift of prophecy, and then there's the office of the prophet. Now, a prophet are something different. You are born a prophet. You can become a prophet. Are you with me? You can be with other prophets and be a prophet. Like, for example, Amos. Amos was a shepherd, then he became a prophet. So the word prophet should not be a curse word. It should be something that we need to understand its proper place and functioning in the body of Christ. Are you there? So without the eyes, your body can't see. And that's why you need the prophetic. Oh, come on, are you guys with me? I hope you're fine. And so I thought one of the things that I'll do tonight before I'm going to activate, that's why I don't want to preach too long, is I want to show you the fake so that we can establish the real. Is that okay? Oh, come on. I don't know if somebody is excited about that. You see, when I have a 100 rand note, I make a fake of the 100 rand note, I never study the fake. I study the real thing. So that when the fake comes, it's easily spotted. Are you there? Are you with me? And so tonight, I'm just going to reverse that protocols a little bit. And I'm going to show you the fake so that you can understand what the real thing is. May I say this? Every office that there is, everything that we do ever do for the Lord, it has to be within the measuring tools or the measuring kit of the reconciliation business of Jesus Christ. Jesus, oh, come on, don't go silent in power. You need to stay hungry. Sit on that edge of your seat. Are you there? Yeah, come on. Don't sit like this. Sit on the edge. Hunger produces wonder. Your posture determines God's response. You say, you don't believe me? Okay, let me prove it. Martha comes to Jesus. She says, Jesus, Lazarus is dead, you know. She's standing. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believes in me shall never perish, but will have eternal life. She says, yes, Lord, I know what you're saying. My brother will rise again. He says, no, Martha, I am the resurrection. In other words, I don't want to do it then, I want to do it now. But your posture is stopping me. He says, where's Mary? Martha stands like this. Mary comes. The word Mary means rebellion. Mary comes. This is her posture. Rabbi. Jesus says this words. Jesus says this words. Where have you laid him? Same Jesus, two types of people. One responds right, the other not. Jesus reacts according to the worshiper's response.
You see, if you're stiff, you're going to get nothing from God. It's when you become a worshiper, when you become desperate, when you become to that place where you want God to interrupt you, then He interrupts you. That's why I say always sit on the edge of your seat so that you can snatch and grab whatever He has got for you. Everybody in the crowd, Jesus walks in the crowd. Everybody touches Him, yet one draws from Him. A crowd is touching Him, one draws Him. He stops, He says, heaven has moved. Who drew from me? Are you going to draw from God tonight? Yeah, come on. And so I want you to spot the fake. Are you there? So let's get the fake police on. Listen, one of the true signs of not the real, false prophets do not like to listen to anyone. They believe that that God tells them everything. And one of the things that I've seen over many, many years is this, is they are always hyper-spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Are you there? Everything. So I want you to be tonight, I want you to check people out that everything is spiritual. No, everything is not spiritual. There are many things that are natural. Like for example, but I don't know why is the devil attacking my money? Well, are you applying the word of the Lord? Are you tithing? Are you giving? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Are you stewarding your finances according to the word of the Lord? No. I don't know about that stuff. Satan is attacking. No, it's not. You're not stewarding. You're not tithing. Oh, no, but I had a dream. You know, I get these all the time. People give me dreams and say, you know, I don't know what this means, but, you know, God spoke to me this way. Listen, God cannot speak to people every single... No, let me reword myself. I am very suspicious of people that tell me God speaks to them all the time. Okay. It's getting quiet here. It shouldn't be quiet. Super spiritual people, hyper spiritual people. They are of the kind that if you say something, that they will say to you, even before you finish your sentence, they will say, God has said to me too. Do you know these type of people? Come on, can I go for it tonight? Yeah, come on, I've got a captive audience here tonight. There's hundreds of people here, hundreds of people online, so let me go for this. The false are never motivated by love. They are motivated by their need to be noticed. You see, if I prophesy to Pastor Eric, I have to love him. If I prophesy to Pastor Stefan, I have to love him. Because he's not mine. He's the Lord's. So the motive of the prophetic is the love of God. It is to reveal the mind and the heart of the Lord to the saint or to the child on behalf of the Father. So it's never about the messenger. It's about the message that comes from the Father. My job as the messenger is to take the message and bring it to the child. It is a child's response to receive the message and to be brought back to the Father. It is a reconciliation business of love. Ah, come on. It is never about the messenger. It is about the message. Yeah, come on. Love the people you want to minister to, and He'll use you incredibly, powerfully, indescribably. If you want to function in power and signs and wonders and miracles, love people and see what God does. Oh, come on. Love the Lord your God and love people as you love yourself. You see, if you start to pray prayers like, Father, heal them. But you're motivated by love and not by being seen. I tell you, God will answer that stuff like that. Yeah, come on, give Jesus some praise. Oh, I hate this. False prophets are not motivated by love. They are motivated by a need to be noticed. They always want a mic. They always want a pulpit. No, your life is your pulpit. Show us the fruits that you are following the Master. Show us the servanthood. Show us the humility. Show us the obedience. Show us how you can stick the time through again. I'm gonna go for this. You see, I will be very suspicious if somebody tells me they carry my surname, yet they look nothing like me. If people say, ah, but I'm your son, really? Hey, but you're tracking answers like I'm tracking. You look very different. There's many people that say they're prophets and they whatever, but they want to be noticed. You know, there are true prophets and there's not true prophets. And we cannot, ons kan nie die baba met die badwater uitgooi nie. You can't say because there's different expressions, because you get different expressions. When it comes to the prophetic, let's learn from me. You have to understand your realm of authority. I'm a baron, right? If I go to the Kutsia's house and I beat up the Kutsia's children, the Kutsia father will beat me up. Why? I don't have authority there. When God calls you, He limits your authority. You're not getting what I'm saying. I can stand next to a bird and I can be on a rooftop and I can tell the bird, hey, check this out. I'm going to fly. And the bird can say, okay, go for it. And if I jump and the bird jumps, one will go down and another one will go up. Why? The bird has been authorized to fly. If you don't love people, keep your mouth shut. I remember in 2013, God said to me, shh. He kept me quiet for a whole year. Couldn't say nothing. Every time I wanted to say something, and I had more visions in that year than I think any other year. But He said, you can say nothing because you don't love the people. I will let you open your mouth when you love them. The motive of ministry is love. The byproduct is the supernatural. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? So if I say, Lord, here is somebody you love. It's your name that's on the line. So do healing, do a wonder, do a miracle. Whose reputation is on the line? Mine? No, for His name's sake. Oh, come on, empower. Give Jesus Christ some praise. Yeah, come on. You know, we need true power back. True authority. Then the false, the fake. They commonly use fear to motivate people. You see what they do, and I hate this, but I'll throw this out. God showed me, they will often use languages like this. God showed me something about you, but I can't tell you what it is. Say amen to me if there's been people that have used this language over your life. Yeah. God showed me something, but I can't tell you what it is. These type of statements breed the spirit of witchcraft. It's a false prophets love to make you think that they have something on you. Let me give you scripture. The Bible says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfect in love. God does not need to drive anybody with fear. He motivates you by love. It tells you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible says, but God, which is rich in mercy because of His great love. Oh, come on, are you there? Love is the central theme of the gospel. He could have kept heaven empty, but He decided not to. He could have made more angels for Himself, and He could make them worship Him forever and ever and ever. But God loves man so much that He couldn't wait for Jesus. That's why He took Enoch. That's why He took Elijah. That's why He took them, because God always wants a man. Oh, you need to say thank you to Jesus for that. Ah, come on. You see, if you are not motivated by love, you have missed the gospel completely. Yeah. Oh, I love this one. The fake and the false are not in covenant relationship with the body of Christ. I wrote down here because people are going to take what I say tonight as authoritative. So I'm making my notes very good. I've yet to observe a false prophet who has a healthy relationship with the local church they attend. As a matter of fact, many do not even attend a church at all. They wander from place to place looking for people who will listen to them. Faith comes by, hearing comes by. Satan uses the same methods. How often it is, listen to me, false prophets, what they do, their goal is the following. They steal people from the flock. And they often use a combination of both power and flattery to get themselves a following. Yeah, come on. Come, Cornelia, help me. We're going to beat the devil up tonight. And because the false prophets are not in the covenant relationship with the body of Christ, they recruit others out of the church community to join them in the independent, familiar, distorted spiritual journey. And in the name of God, they will position themselves, and they've not been called by God. Dangerous people. Hey, are you recognizing? Okay, listen to this. They recruit others. Oh, the Yerevia, this is so true. The word covenants means that we are not in a relationship with somebody. We have already paid the price for someone. Jesus said, John 15:13, he says, no greater love has anyone than this, that they lay down one's life for his friends. So I want you to understand this tonight, that there's three dimensions to this. And that's why I always say to the people, make sure you follow one voice, because my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Are you guys with me? Is everybody there okay? So prophecy, by the simplest nature, is God speaking to you about your potential. So if I, for an example, if I prophesy to Christo a word tonight, the reason or the authority levels will change based on how I'm called. So if I'm a normal Christian in the spirit of prophecy, I can only say to him things based upon the word of the Lord. If I'm the gift of prophecy, I can only say things to him that is measured against uplifting, edification, and the exhortation of him. Are you with me? When I am in the office of the prophet, I have to have the apostolic next to me. I have to have pastors in the same offices with me. Are you with me? I want you to understand, I must have an evangelist there. Why? There's safety with all of them being present. Because you can't just say whatever you want. It's not how this works. So even, let me use myself, even if I can be prophetic, even whatever I say must be subjected to people that I've submitted my life to. So in the council of the officers, there comes wisdom, right? Come on, everybody catching what I'm saying? But what God will do, God will sometimes remind a person about their potential when they forgot about their potential. I want to liken it to something. It is like two children reminding one another of who they really are and who they really not. Because both of the children are in the Father's house. So when I prophesy, when I speak forth and I say something to someone, it is not because I'm trying to be seen. It is because I'm trying to get the person back into their potential, back into the original business that God has called them to do. And that's why the Lord would love all to prophesy. In actual fact, the Bible says He wants all to be prophets. Are you there? The problem just is that everybody cannot just run around and do a lot of crazy stuff. That's not how it works. You are called to the body of Christ. You are called to the church. You must function in the church in submission, and then you must do a you must grow up in that local assembly, because you can't just go, I want to liken it to somebody. You can't just take a knife and then go for it and cut wherever you think you must cut. No, it doesn't work like that. The New Testament and the Old Testament, you have to understand the prophetic is the only office that didn't change between the old and the new. It's the same. Oh, come on guys, are you with me? Are you learning something tonight? I don't know if it's hot. Are you getting hot? I'm getting hot. It's not because you're hot. Come on, guys. Just we're going to activate you tonight. See, if you are a son of God, let me say it like this. If you are a son of God, if you are a daughter of God, God calls you first as a son. He calls you first as a daughter. Then He uses you as He needs you. That's why He will take you, and the times that you need to teach, you will be able to teach while you're a son. The times that you'll need to be able to pastor, you'll be able to pastor while you're a son. The times that you need to be able to prophesy, you can. Why? You're a son. You're always a son first. Oh, come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why am I reading to you what I'm reading to you? Check this out. Go with me to Joel. Joel chapter number 2. Joel chapter number 2. Verse number 20. Joel 2 verse number 20. I want to show you where you are living right now. Come on, saints. Are everybody okay? Joel 2, verse number 20. But I will remove far from you the northern army, and I will drive him away into a barren and desolate land, with his face towards the eastern sea and his back towards the western sea. His stench will come up, and his foul odor will rise, because he has done monstrous things. I told you in another segment that I did about Ezekiel 38 and 39, I showed you literally how Israel will have a massive attack from the north. And we showed you that the nation that is up north, I've got a point to what I'm saying now, we are seeing this in our news everywhere we go. The nation up north is Russia. And we know that there needs to be a descent coming upon Israel. We know that there needs to be a 10-nation coalition and all of those things. And I don't need to go into all of that tonight. But we know this to be true. We know this is all biblically accurate. And we know Israel is God's end-time clock. Are you with me? Now we see in Joel 2:20, hey, but wait a minute. God actually spoke about what is happening right now in the world in Joel 2:20. That's thousands of years back. But then if we read on, listen to what he says. And it shall come to pass afterward. After what? After what we're seeing now. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. So everything that we are seeing right now is, in my belief, a preparation for a mass outpouring that has to happen on the church, because Jesus is coming back. Let me reword myself. He is coming back very, 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 very soon. And He's not coming back because I want you just to understand this. Bible says He's coming back. The word rapture is a Greek word, hapharzu, and it means a rescue mission. In other words, when He comes, He's going to rescue you out of this world. Are you there? But for you to go through this time, it will be inaccurate for Him to leave you in this time of outpower. And it will be inaccurate for Him to leave you in this time of outpower and both authority. So He will empower you to go through this time successfully. So the darker the world gets, oh come on, is there somebody that's out there with me? The darker the world gets, the lighter it's going to shine in here. Because God, oh come on, I'm going to activate. God is not going to match the enemy, He's going to outmatch him. That's why I will work and I will labor to cultivate a measure of the presence of God like we're doing tonight, so that you can access power, so that you can go out of this place after having an encounter with God in this building, that you can go into the world and you can hit the world full of power. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You come back Sunday, we worship Him again, we exalt Him again, we get filled of power again. I send you back into the world. You go and do it again. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We come back again. We worship Him. We get filled again. We hit the world again. We come back. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Do you know how much He wants to use you? This is the hour. Save me. This is the hour. So, let me explain it like this. Can I show you an example? The worship team, you guys can come back. You guys are pretty. Are you guys ready to receive from the Lord? Okay, let me illustrate. William, you look pretty. Come and stand there. Looking, Kristen, come here. I want to demonstrate. So the word preach, just stand there. The word preach is the Greek word keretas. It means to hear what the king is saying at the king's chamber. Listen, he says, go in, preach the... Okay, this is how it works. I go spend time with the king and I put my ear at his chamber. He talks, I listen. Are you there? Then I go as a messenger and I go and I get Kristen. And I say, hey, the king said. Now listen to everybody, okay? Okay, now listen. How are you? Okay, I need to get Kristen. Okay, I'm going to go and get it. Thank you. Then as I go, I get encountered by demons. I get encountered by tough situations in the world. Because why will Satan oppose you if you are not carrying a message? So as I'm on my way to Christu, he tells me, I promise you, as you go, you will overcome the world. The world is the gap between God and His children. Okay, are you with me? This is prophecy. He speaks, I listen. I'm like, okay, I hear. Then I sit with Christian. I check, but he's not doing what he said. And then prophecy in its simplest form is saying, hey, Christian, you need to change because he says something different about you. And then he can say, oh, I didn't think God still believes in me. I didn't think God still loves me. I didn't think that God can still use me after the divorce, or after this marriage failure, or after that business failure, or after I've sinned, or after I've messed up. But God says, no. Oh yeah, He can use you. He says He can use you still. So come, let's go back to the Father's house. Come on, are you guys, you understand what I'm saying? So the prophetic is all about taking the many Christians that is out there and bringing them back. to what the Father has said about them. Come on. Thanks, guys. Come on, do you understand what I'm saying? So, this night we have to activate as many messengers as what we can. Once again. Yeah. Why not? You see when you are, come on. You see when you love people, why will he not use you? Now, let's use that example again. Now, William says, come William. William says, Father, use me. Give me a great business. God says, by the way, he's going to be extremely wealthy. God says, okay, but why? Yeah. Him and I, we connected. Why? Why? Is it for selfish gain? No, Father. It's about the children. Okay, let's test that. When the Lord gives you a small business, you mess it up. Say, God, what did I do wrong? You didn't tithe, you didn't steward, you did nothing, you bought the car too quick. It's true what I'm saying. Then God gives another business. He just must stay close to God. That's all God needs. Now he starts to make the millions. And God couldn't care how much money you make, as long as you have people on the other side of why you want to make that money. Oh, thanks, William. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So why will he not give you power? Why will he not give you the ability to heal? He said, go and heal the sick. Go and raise the dead. Go and set the captives free. Why? Because we need to bring them back. Come on, are you with me? God's thoughts is not our thoughts. God's ways is not our ways. He loves you indescribably. There's nothing in heaven or on the earth or under the earth. Not life, not death, nothing. So, let me use another example. Now I stand. Come, William, again. William is, he's a pretty Jesus, so I listen. Okay, I must do that. Now I spend time with him. Where Jesus is, I want you to understand this, because if I can get this across, I can activate you tonight. As he is, no, let's say it again. As he is, okay. So now I spend time with him, and I realize where he's at, there's no sickness. I realize there's no poverty. I realize there's no pain. But the Bible says, as he is. So now I encounter somebody that are full of pain. What is his will? What is his will? Now I encounter somebody that is full of sickness. What is his will? No sickness. But you see, he cannot set free unless you've actually been here. Because you can't do it by yourself. You need to be so full of him that as you go, a king goes with you. Thanks, William. I want you to understand something. It is what overshadows you that touches people. Are you there? Oh, the years are amazing. Oh, God is absolutely amazing. Are you guys going to sing something for us? I'm teasing you. You know why I want to activate you tonight? Because the more messages we can activate, the more dangerous it's gonna be for the enemy. Because now Eric is activated, Richard is activated, Stefan is activated, Melania is activated, William is activated. All of us are looking for the sick. All of us are looking for the lost ones. All of us are looking for those that are lost. All of us are on our search. Can you imagine our next week Sunday? I will still come here early. I will not have space to bring it. I will like, what's going on? Why? We went actually to do. That's what he said. We must do. Go and heal the sick. Go and preach the gospel. Come on. You know, I said, you saw how full the church was this morning. It was ridiculous. So I was praying this afternoon. I was saying, God, must we go bigger? What are you telling me? Can you imagine if every one of you goes on assignment this week? Because what is the prophetic? It is sitting, watching, observing, getting the mind of God for a person and telling them that in obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's the prophetic. But then you get the judiciary side that I won't get into tonight. That's completely different, another level. Okay, I'm gonna activate us. Is that a fine? So, I don't know, Aiden, you must think about a nice song. You wanna worship Jesus. I wanna send you, listen. William, come in. If William is the Holy Spirit, and he walks with me wherever I go, right? Come on, you have to understand this. Bible says he is with you as your permanent indweller. Wherever you go, he goes. So now you get encountered with somebody that is sick, right? Where are you going to get the power from to heal? From him. So your job is to know him. But you know what most Christians do? We ignore him. We like this. We're like, God help us. It's like, but you have God with you. God, how am I going to get out of this business deal? Well, ask God. He's next to you. He's with you. He's in you. Yeah. You know what we need to do more? We need to get more sons and daughters. And we need to put our little finger in, up their nose. And say, hey, you are acting not like the word of God. Stop discrediting Jesus. Thank you. Are you there? Ons by die kinderspak slaag gee. We're telling you wrong. Stop messing up God's kids. Saul, let me throw the last revelation out to you. Saul, 40 years, man. 38 years fired by God. God fired him for 38 years. He was king 2 years. 2 years. 38 years fired by God. God left it. Just because we are gifted doesn't mean we qualify. Let me leave you with that. You see this pulpit here? This pulpit? This is full of blood. From 1996, there was a man here. His name was Carl Barrett. He bled here. From 1996 to 2013. Then there came another young man. His name is Gebhard Barrett. I bled on this pulpit. From 2013 to 2022. So don't tell me this thing is cheap. This will cost you your life. It will cost you comfort. It will cost you hours and hours and hours. Yeah. You say, but you could have left it. Yeah, no. You don't understand. I'm chained to this thing. The Bible says I become a bond slave of Christ. So I'm dead. There's no options left. Bible says you are dead in Christ Jesus, right? A person that has got options are never really, truly, deeply called. I don't have an option anymore. I'm called. So now I made up my mind a couple of years back. Well, if I'm called, we're going to give the devil hell. In this area, as much as what we can, and we're going to plant churches. That's why you see the people that are following me. They are laying hands, they are healing the sick, they are raising the dead. Why? That's who we are. Are you with me? This thing has cost us blood, man. Cost me sleepless nights, you people. True. Through COVID, this thing has cost me hours and hours and hours. Lead thousands of people through a situation that we didn't know what to do. We only had
William, come.
We only had the Holy Spirit. We're like, Lord, what are we gonna do? It's like, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. Now, when I saw thousands of people here this morning, I was shouting in my, when I went back home on my M4, I was driving, I was shouting in that car. I was saying, thank you, Jesus, the revival has come. Praise the Yere. We have labored for this behind the scene. Oh! Are you with me? Come on, church. The King is coming. And so I'm shouting, I'm rejoicing, even with the hundreds of people that are here tonight online. I'm shouting, and they sent me a message this morning from Durban. The guy's on fire, man. I'm like, here, I'm gonna take a place. Why? This King is coming. You know what he's doing now, the Lord? He's removing all the vagabonds. He's getting because the wares, the tears, and the koring en die kaf, hulle groei saam. It's mooi in Afrikaans. Hulle groei saam. But then the God says, no, that's not corn, that's wheat. Let me say it like this. I'll end of this, and you guys can respond. Wheat grows quicker than corn. Are you there? No, you didn't catch that. Wheat grows quicker than corn. Why? Because wheat dies to its very seed for the seed to break open and to shoot out. Wheat takes time to give birth. Something that grows too quick in the body of Christ, people that want to just suddenly be in the ear next to you, that's chaff. Hy's nie koring nie. Are you there? Because corn has to have roots. Okay, that's too deep, I see. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because a seed must die in itself before it can give birth to its surroundings. That's why I tell young people all the time, don't tell me how gifted you are. Come and die next to me as we pray, as we seek the Lord. I'll tell old people as well, gifted people as well. No, come and die with me. Let's die daily. Come on. Let's stay faithful day in and day out. Let's stay with the gospel day in and day out. Then we'll see how God will use you. Ah, come on. That's why you'll see, for example, this that you see here, this is not cheap stuff, man. We've been together for years. You know how many of your soccer suit is this? Many, eh? We might be young, but we're not stupid. Yeah, we see the fake ones quickly. Yeah, okay, let me stop. I feel good about this message. Oh, I made people angry. I know, tomorrow morning, I'm gonna get a message again. And say, oh, sorry, but I'm like, hey, go follow Jesus, leave me alone. Amen. He loves you, by the way. We are called to this gospel. We have prayed our lives for this gospel. And the time is already up, so we don't have time to choose other stuff. And we don't even want to. I am born to preach this gospel. I don't know about you, but I'm called. Many are called. Few are chosen. I'm the chosen one. You are chosen as you sit here. We're not vagabonds. Amen? If that's you tonight, you say, Pastor Gibbard. Because these guys are standing there watching me the whole time. If that's you tonight, and you say, because I want you in your heart to want to be a messenger. Then He will use you. but it has to be because I love this person. If I don't love him, what business do I have to tell him something about God? Is this a show? No, this is not a show. I'm going to stand before the Lord one day and I'm going to give an account of my life. Romans 14:3. The word give an account is an accounting word. It means Jesus is going to throw all your life open before you. And he's going to go through your life like this. He's going to say, tell me what you did. Can you imagine how many people will expect? Yeah, but you know, Jesus, you know, that song they sang in the church wasn't really that nice. I got offended. Really? How does a dead person become offended? He's dead. You know how many people I get from time to time, they tell me they're offended with me. How can you be offended? You're dead. The very reason that you say you are offended means you are alive to sin and not yet dead to God.